So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. As I was worshiping today, standing up here, I was worshiping the Lord, and I felt, and this is not going to sound corny to some of you, but I felt the weight of the message. I felt the weight of the message. Now, what I preach today might not hit everybody, but it's for somebody. I want to talk to you. I'm entitling this morning's message, I Knew You in the Womb. I Knew You in the Womb. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that he knew me before all the other stuff came in. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, say amen when you get there. Beginning in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now, Pastor, is he talking about everybody right there? Well, he's talking to Jeremiah. But if he knew Jeremiah while he was in the womb, he knows you while you were in the womb. "And then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. It is facing away from the north. Father, bless the reading of your word today. And God, help me deliver what you have put in my spirit today. God, so that I may deliver the word that I feel like you have put in my heart that is weighing heavy on me today. And Lord, I bind every distraction from the north, south, east, and west. Devil, I take authority that nothing shall distract the person or persons that God, you have sent this word to. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. Now, Pastor, what do you mean that you didn't come to preach to everybody? I mean that I pray that you get something out of it, but there's somebody here that is going to be a life-changing moment, that if you will receive it. I knew you in the womb. Let me tell you a little bit about Jeremiah. He was called in his late teens, early 20s by the Lord. He's known as the weeping prophet because he cried a lot, because his heart was broken. Not only was his heart broken, but man, the message that he had to deliver was a message of doom and despair. But the other side of that was that if you would turn, that he would hear you, that he would answer you, he would show you great and mighty things if you would just do his will. I believe that's still his message today. that we wonder why we are in the kind of situations that we in, because sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. But when you serve God and you live according to His precepts and concepts, I give you my word, it might not be today or tomorrow, but your life is better because you don't have all the other junk. And God ordained you. He called you by name. And point number one is simply this. I don't plan on holding you long today, but let me just say that there is a deposit in you, that God put a deposit inside of you from the very foundation of the earth. Before you was ever formed in your mother's womb, He said, I knew you while you were there. And so when you were there, God put a deposit in every one of us. Well, Pastor, God loves this one. No. No. There is a deposit in all of us that God placed there that He will spend the rest of your life trying to get that deposit out of you. There is joy in deposited in you. There is purpose deposited in you. There is dreams that have been deposited in you. The problem is life. Life has messed up the dreams and the deposit, but God said that Jeremiah means Jehovah will rise. God is saying that I'm going to rise up in your life if you will let me, and I will pull out of you the deposit that I put in you. Before I formed you, I knew you in the womb. God foreknew me before I was ever born. Now, I want you to catch this. Pastor, how I can't articulate how that happens. Why? I'm not God. But if you believe His word, then you know that He knew you before you were ever born. Listen, before the junk of circumstances and situations ever got to you, He knew you. Oh, hear me, somebody. Before the doctors ever slapped you on your backside, God knew you. Before you were potty trained too early or too late, God knew you. See, we like to look at what has happened to us and use that as an excuse why we are the way we are. But God said, I was there before you were ever molested. God knew you. Before you were ever bitter, God knew you. Before you were ever called stupid or loser, God said, I knew you. Before you were ever told that you'll never amount to anything, God said, I was there and I knew you. Before you were confused about your sexuality or before you was confused about your gender, God said, I was there. I know who you are. And if you're looking to find out who you are, then ask the one who created you. Before you were beat down and busted up, God knew you. Before you became an addict, God knew you. Before you were an alcoholic, God knew you. Before you were ever mistreated, God knew you. Before you became impure because you were looking for acceptance, God knew you. Before you were ever divorced, God knew you. Before the tragedy ever happened, He said, I knew you and I know you. I deposited something. He made a deposit in you that only He can bring out of you. Before you were, while you were still in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you before you were born. I sanctified you. I ordained you. I ordained you before you were ever born. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Well, but Pastor, is it too late for me? I'm an old guy. I'm an old woman. No, it's never too late. God knows you and He knows where you're at. See, in verse 6, the Bible says, and I will cause you to see yourself as you really are. See, God was telling Jeremiah, I'll make you see yourself how you really are. You know, have you ever looked at one of those trick mirrors? Oh, yeah, man. Most of them make me look fatter. I don't like those. I like the ones that make me look tall and thin. So I appreciate that word that Pastor Steve was giving us today. I like those ones. But how many knows that sometimes you got to look at yourself how you really are, but then you need to look through the lens of God and not just the lens of your what you've been through. Because have you ever seen people that, man, they are fine as wine, but think they ugly? Because we always want something that we don't have, right? I mean, listen, how many knows people with a full head of hair, but still shaves it? From the rest of us, we hate you. I'm doing everything in my power to keep my hair. What hair don't turn gray is trying to turn loose. Come on, somebody. I'm doing everything I can. And if you get my age, you start growing hair where you don't really want to grow hair. I want to grow hair up here, not on my ears and in my nose and on my back. Come on, somebody. I ain't all about that. Why? Why can't it hit up here? No, it's going to come here. I thought about just letting it grow and doing the comb over. Come on, all the way from my ears. You can't do that. But how many know what I'm talking about? Curly hair wants straight hair. Straight hair wants curly hair. Blonde hair wants black hair. Black hair wants blonde hair. Brown hair wants purple hair. Purple hair wants to be blue hair. Amen. Because we're always looking. You know, I remember, and I've told this story before, but I remember going to a conference with a pastor friend of mine, and he's a real thin guy, and he got dressed, and you know, he came out, he just looked so neat and so easy. But when you is this big, you got to work on looking neat. And then I got dressed, and I thought that in my mind, I didn't say nothing, but then I went and got dressed and came out, and he said, man, I wished I filled out a shirt like you. I said, first of all, that makes me a little nervous. Don't be talking to me like that. Men don't say that to each other. You might think it, but you don't say it. I don't roll that way, bro. Come on, somebody. Thin want to be a little heavier. Heavier want to be thin. But when you look at yourself through not the lens of somebody else. How many knows, you know, my wife from time to time, she'll look at me and she'll say, "Ooh, Ronnie Reed." She said, "You are one fine man." And I said, "Ooh, Lord, I'm so thankful that she loves me." Because love is not blind. It just disregards what it sees. Come on, somebody. Because I know, listen, I pay her prescription. I know what her prescription is. For her eyes. I know that. But that's what love is. See, when Jesus looks at us, man, he don't see the where we were or where we are. He sees us where we called it. See, he talks to your potential. He always talks to where he wants you to be. He said, this might be where you are, but I've called you to this. I put a deposit in you, and I don't care what you do or who you get. You cannot get the deposit out unless the Holy Ghost brings it out, and I'm going to spend the rest of your life bringing that out. Because, see, listen, if you will, the awe of verse 6 causes you to see yourself as you really are. Don't ever lose the wonder of awe. I cannot speak, but I am but a youth. Jeremiah was unmarred. He was a 20-year-old man who had not earned the respect of the adult world. I know what that feels like. I started pastoring at 24. I didn't know grits was groceries. I didn't know nothing. But I still began to speak, and God gave me the words. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, don't think that you're too young to speak the word of God. Don't think that you're too old that you can't speak the word of God. God can use you if you will just let him use you. And that's why we put so much effort into our children's ministry and our youth ministry, because we want to make sure that our youth, they're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. See, the words of God, point number 2 is this, the words of God changes everything. Look at verse number 7. But the Lord said to me. But the Lord says to me. One guy told me one day that but before anything cancels out what else was said. I love you, but. All right, wait a minute. You know what I'm talking about? I love you, but that kind of cancels out what you just said. I like you, but what don't you like about me? Right? Because once you say, so he said, I cannot speak, but the Lord said to me. That phrase changes everything. Because when God speaks to you, it changes everything. No matter what has happened before now, God is getting ready to change everything with His words. When His words come to you, things change. Everything, it changes when you receive His word into your life. I know what I used to be. Next year, God willing, I'm going to go to my 35th high school reunion. I remember when I went to my 25th high school reunion, and they were a little surprised at what I do. They were a little surprised at my life, of what it has amounted to. They were not a little surprised, honestly. They were blown away because of what I used to be, because they knew me as this, but there was a deposit even in me way back then. Every bar I went into, and every drug I did, everything that I used to do and be, that was still a deposit. Just because that you have went away, just because you did not live the life that God wanted you to live, does still not disregard that the deposit is still in you. It doesn't matter where you are or where you've been, that deposit is still in you. And God says, if you'll come unto me, I will bring it out of you, and I will cause great things to happen in your life. See, when you got to understand that, don't say anymore, God said, don't say anymore, I'm just a you. Because you can use anything as an excuse. Well, I can't do that. I know I've used this many times, and I know you guys probably get tired of hearing it because many of you don't believe it. But in the right circumstances, I'm shy. I'm a little shy. And you want me to get up in front of hundreds of people and talk and do my thing? But in the right circumstances, I'm shy. And I used to tell God why I couldn't do it. I used to tell God why I didn't want to do it. See, some people can't do it. They just don't want to do it. And that was the reason why I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be a preacher. Most preachers I know are poor. I don't want to be poor. Let's just be real. Now, God has blessed me, and I'm not poor, and I give God praise and bind the devil in the name of Jesus. But I don't want to be poor. Lord, when he called me to preach, Pastor Greg, I didn't want to carry everybody else's burdens. I didn't want to hear everybody else's junk. I didn't want to hear everybody else's problem. I got my own. I didn't want to hear everybody else's. I didn't want that, but God knew what he put in me. And when I said, God, I can't handle this, but the word of the Lord came to me and says, I have put in you. I know what you can bear, and I won't put more on you than what you're able to bear up under. I've come by to tell you that God knows what you can take and what you can't take, and he won't put more under on you than you're able to bear without making a way to escape. Listen to me, church. You've got to recognize, no matter where I am, no matter where I've been, there is a deposit inside of me. He said, don't say anymore, I'm just a youth. When you get through speaking what God puts in you, they won't even care how old you are. You know what? After the first year of pastoring, nobody ever talked about my age. I'm 24. Nope. And when I first started pastoring, coach, they would say, well, you still wet behind the ears. They'd say, you're just green. And I don't know where I heard it from, but I started saying, as long as you're green, you're growing. When you get ripe, you start to rot. So I'll stay green because I want to continue to grow. Come on, somebody. But after my first year of pastoring, nobody ever said I was too young to pastor anymore. There were very few people. Why? It wasn't because I was some eloquent preacher, but I would speak what the word of the Lord came to me, and I would speak what God would say, and the people were ministered to. And when you begin to minister to people's needs, they don't care how young you are or how old you are. They don't care what gender you are. They don't care what color you are. They don't care. They just know that God is speaking to them through you. He said, do not say it anymore that you're just a youth. Quit making making the excuse why you can't do what God's called you to do. Shut up. Quit saying it. Quit saying it. You know, that thing in your life that Satan tells you is the reason why God can't use you. Quit saying it. Well, I'm not as pure as so-and-so. Au contraire. Well, I didn't go to college. I didn't go to seminary. So what? You can still be used by God. I wasn't born on the right side of the tracks. I don't care. I'm not the right color. I don't care. I'm not the right gender. I don't care. I don't listen. I remember Pastor John, you know, was our youth pastor for 12 years. And I'll never forget when he was interviewing, he said to me, he said, "Pastor, I just need to tell you that I'm not licensed minister in the church of God." I said, "Okay, I'll give you one of mine. I don't care." And what a great job for 12 years that Pastor John did, right? Amen. Because see, when God calls you, man can't uncall you. Hear me, somebody. And now don't get me wrong, I believe in pursuing the licensing and all that stuff, just, you know, to show yourself approved. I believe in that. But my deal is telling you this. Is that quit making excuses why you are the way you are. Quit making excuses why God can't use you. "Well, I'm too young. I can't sing. I can't do this." Well, if you can't sing, don't try to sing. "Well, Pastor, how do you know if you can sing or not?" Well, ask me. I'll tell you. Because if you can't, I ain't going to lie to you. "No, baby, you can't sing. You make a joyful noise. It ain't a pleasing noise, but it's a joyful noise." Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Quit agreeing. Oh, you're trying to make me go on, ain't you? Quit agreeing with the enemy and start agreeing with God. Quit agreeing with the enemy. "Well, I can't do this because I'm divorced. I can't do this because..." No. Now listen to me. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Now, God will not use vessels that go against his word. See, I don't want you leaving here saying, "Well, me and my husband shacked, or me and my boyfriend shacked up. I don't know why you won't use me, God." And then if you're here, go, "Well, God uses me because I'm all that in a bag of chips." God used a donkey. Yeah, so don't get all high and lifted up just because God uses you. Because God used a donkey. A donkey. He used a buzzard. Look at your neighbor and say, "There's some hope for you, brother. You old buzzard." That thing in your life that Satan tells you why God can't use you, quit agreeing with him and start agreeing with what God says about you. Here's the problem with the modern day church. We don't read this enough to know what God says about us. And it's so easy this day and time to read. I mean, this is one version of the Bible, but I've got about literally 18 or 20 versions on this iPad. I've got another, I don't even know where my phone is, but I got another 10 or 12 versions on my phone. I've got more Bibles on my iPad than I do in my office. I've got more commentary on my iPad than I do. There's no reason why you can't say that I can't read it. It's so easily available. Matter of fact, "Well, Pastor, I can't afford it." Go to YouVersion. "Well, I don't have enough memory." Then delete Facebook and download the Bible, because Facebook only depresses you when you see everybody else having stuff that you ain't got. And let me tell you, yes, filters are used on pictures. Nobody wakes up first thing in the morning and takes a picture and goes, "This is what I look like first thing in the morning." No, baby. Get the Word of God and let the Word of God begin to tell you. Learn what God says about you and begin to speak what God says. Jesus in Luke chapter 4, when he went into the temple, the Bible said that when he went to the temple, he found in the scriptures where it said about him. He went into the scriptures. See, sometimes you got to get the Word of God and just, you got to pray the Word of God. Sometimes you got to speak the Word of God, what it says about you. I'm the head and not the tail. Pastor Steve was helping us this morning. He didn't know what I was preaching on. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed coming out. I'm not going to let the devil drive me crazy because I took the keys from him. I'm not going to let him drive me. My mind is in peace because my mind is stayed on Jesus. See, you need to understand the Word of God has a lot to say about a believer. Look at your neighbor, tell him, I'm a believer. Find in God's Word what it's saying about you and read it to the devil. Shout it from the rooftops and declare it in the streets. Huh? Verse 8. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. There is an instant courage that comes when you realize you're not alone. You see, I forget the phraseology of it, but there is a courage that comes with a mob. That a mob will do what one person wouldn't do. If you're with people, all of a sudden you get courage that you wouldn't do. Right? I know what I'm talking about. I've been in that scenario. We were in this riot at my high school, and I've told this story, and there was on the back hallway, there was the bathroom that we were not allowed in, but bless God, about six of us jumped up bold and big and bad, and we went in there and bust through that door in high school, and we were in there, we were ready to take names, baby. We was in there and we was talking bad and talking, not me. I was talking noise and everything. And then I realized that everybody that came in with me done left. And all of a sudden, my courage left. But you know what I did? I ran out of there. That's what I did. Shoot. I ain't stupid. Why? Because you'll do things when you realize you're not alone. When you realize you're not alone. I've come by to tell somebody you're not alone. God knew you before you were ever messed up by life. God knew you while you were still there. Now look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 says this, and then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Point number 3 is this. The touch is for a task. See, the problem with some people and even some churches is we want to be touched by God, but then we don't want to do anything with the touch that we just got. We want to feel, you know, I call it Christian Holy Ghost addiction. We want to come up, we want to feel the power of God. Come on, give me a fix. But you ain't going to do nothing with it. Come on, I want to feel the Lord. Mm. Oh. Give me my fix. Oh. Come on, somebody lay their hand on me. Sister Bobby, pray for me. I want to feel him. But what are you going to do with the touch? Because he doesn't touch you for no reason. He touches you so that gives you the power, the ability, the courage to do something. Well, I hadn't been touched. Maybe you ain't doing nothing. Oh, I can't get no help up in here. Thank you. The touch is for the task. You need to know that you are blessed and that you are touched, but it is not just to make you feel better. But it is to give you courage. It is for that anointing to rise up in you and you take on the devil or whomever. Listen to me, church. that because everybody in here has lived a life where people have told you that you wouldn't do it, you couldn't make it, and bless God, you need to come against some of those things, and you need to touch that. Bless God, I'm not who they said I was. I'm not what life has handed me. I'm not a jailbird. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not an addict. I'm not codependent. I'm not all these things that the world said about me. I am what God said about me, and God got there before the other mess got there, so I'm going to take God's word and not this other people's word. You need a resume to throw in the devil's face from time to time. Here's what I am. I'm a child of God. I've been blessed by the Holy Ghost. I've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and I refuse to back up and back down. I know who I am, and I know who I'm not. Well, when did it all start, Pastor? When did God lay his hand on you? When did God lay his hand on you? When did God lay his hand on you? Well, it's been multiple times for me. I can tell you the first time. It was happening on a September Sunday night in 1984 is the first time that I can remember the Holy Spirit touching me. His hand touched me. But the touch was for the task. Because see, when he touched me, when the Lord touched me, I wasn't strung out. When the Lord touched me, I wasn't at the bottom of the barrel. I just wasn't fulfilling my call. When the Lord touched me, I was making more money than I'd ever made in my life. I was making more money than my daddy ever made in his life. When the Lord touched me, I was dating a few people. When the Lord touched me, I had plenty of money. I was on top of the world. When the Lord touched me, where did it start? It started there for me. When God touched me. Verse number 10 says, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plan. Little is much in God's hands. Pastor, it doesn't matter. Little is much in God's hands. Many times God does it in the spirit before he manifests it in the physical. And the Lord says, just be faithful and let me handle the details. I want it now. Patience is a virtue. Because your words are going to root out and to pull down, to destroy and throw down, build and to plant. Verse number 11 and 12 and even 13 is a little confusing. Because verse number 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. See, there is a test before the triumph. There is a test before the testimony. There is a battle before the victory. Some people want to shout victory. See, some people wonder why I worship the way I worship. And yes, part of it's my personality. But a lot of it is I know what God has delivered me from. See, maybe if you ain't ever been delivered from anything, maybe your praise is like this. But I know that he delivered me from hell. I know what it is. When I first started pastoring and basically sold everything I had just so I could make it and not starve to death pastoring. I know what it is not to have money in my pocket. I know what it is. I know what it is to not have food in my cupboards. I know what it is not to have gas in my car. I know what it is to drive a junker. I know what it is. But through it all, I learned to praise him. because no matter where I was at, I know what it is. Listen to me. I know what it is to live in a single wide 10 by 55 trailer. I know what it is to live there in August with no air condition in Florida. I know what it is to live, matter of fact, July, August, September with no AC in a mobile home. I know what it is for it to be freezing outside and not have any heat in that same home. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just telling you that you need to learn how to praise the Lord in any circumstance and in any situation, and then you will learn how to give God praise when He brings you down, when He pulls you through, when He tears down, and when it comes over to the other side, you will know how to worship Him. I know what it is to not sure if I love my wife. Ooh, got quiet then, didn't it? I know what it is to love my wife but not be in love with my wife. But I also know that that was the enemy. And I also know to stay true to God. So I had that foundation. And I can tell you that was almost 20 years ago. And we've already celebrated 32 years of marriage. I know what it is, baby. I love her more than life. I'm in love with her more today than I was then. I've come by to help somebody. See, I'm not telling you that for your admiration. I'm trying to help somebody. I've come by to tell you that, bless God, I know where you're at. I know where you've been, many of you. But I've also come by to tell you that God not only knows where you are, He knew where you were. He knew you before you were, while you were still in your mother's womb. He put a deposit in you, and He is spending His life trying to get it out. But there is a test before the testimony. There is a battle before the victory. I shout. I'm trying to tell you why I dance the way I dance, why I cry the way I cry, why I worship the way I worship, because I know what God has delivered me out of. I know what God has brought me through, and I just can't act like God had never done anything for me. See, before you get your real assignment, you got to pass the test. The Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree, verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, you've seen well, you've seen correctly. For I am ready to perform my word. Well, what did the almond tree have to do with it? Well, nothing. It was a sight test. What do you see? Lord, I see an almond tree. Okay, now you're ready. What do you see? See, some of you just... some of you serve God, but He's your side piece. He's your side love. That's something I do on Sunday. Not Monday through Saturday. I come to church on Sunday and give the big guy his due. No, baby, that ain't serving God. That's an obligation that you feel to appease your own sense of obligation. When you serve Him, it doesn't matter when or where or how. So then in verse 13... the branch of the almond tree meant absolutely nothing. God was just getting Jeremiah an eye exam. He wanted to check his vision. And then verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me. It's the second time saying, what do you see? He said, a boiling pot, and it's facing away from the north. Now that's a whole other message in and of itself. But I want to finish right here. Because then God says, now you're ready. See, what you've been through might just been getting you ready for what God has in store for you. You know, I look at this front line of guys. Two ugly ones right there. Skid Row. But man, come here, come here. Just celebrated a birthday. Seventy-eight years young. But Papa, he don't look like a normal church guy, does he? Thank God. Look, just an old biker with a limp. Let's see where it's. I'm looking for one. This ain't the one you got. Oh, here it is, back here. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, one of his jackets says, "These are my church clothes." Is it back there? Done wore out. That's what it is. It wore. Yeah. All right. These are my church clothes. What am I saying? Now listen, he's an old biker. I mean, you can watch him walk and tell he's a biker. But the reality is, the stuff he's been through is inspiration for other people. Because he's been through it. Did you hear me? He came through it. It didn't stop him. He came through it. It came. Somebody hear me. Thank you, Papa. What you've been through, maybe, I promise you, he wouldn't have been through everything that he'd been through if he'd have found Jesus maybe earlier. But because God still used it, he came through it. I knew you in the womb. I knew you in the womb. There was something that God deposited in you before you ever got messed up. Before you got beat up from the feet up. Before you got messed up from the chest up. God knew you. And he's trying to get out of you what he put in you. Come on, stand to your feet. I knew you in the womb. Hey. Come on, let's just spend a moment in his presence. In his presence, right there. Yeah. Ooh, I seen you move. You move the mountain.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.